pray for this Sunday school.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you, Father, for our salvation. We just pray, Lord, that you just work in the hearts of people, Lord. Just take the opportunity with us. We can probably pray for the message today and the word. Preachers from your word, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, sweetheart. We're in 1 John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and we're going to be in verse 7. Kind of get to the heart of a lot of John's teaching right here, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. John says this, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Now, let me tell you something here. I've never met anybody in my life who didn't have a natural love. I just never have, okay? It's easy to love your own, okay? A mother dog with its puppies, they just love them, okay? Mother cat with its kittens, they just love them. In fact, it's always considered aberrant, you know, or terrible when some animal rejects its young or something. People love their own children. They love their own clan. They love their own tribes. What's hard is to love people that are different, to love others. That's what's hard. My pastor always used to say, it's hard to love the unlovely. And there's a lot of people out there who are unlovely, either tragedies that happened in their life, conscious decisions they've made that have gone wrong, terrible habits of character, and they're hard people to love. Now, if we were to go to a Jehovah Witness meeting this morning, I'm not suggesting you do, but if you did, all right, they love each other. Just go in there. Why? Because they're all the same. They're all thinking exactly the same. In fact, they propagand each other. You know, they all say the exact same words about everything. And so they all love each other. And a lot of times, churches mistake that for God's love. Okay? You know, everybody comes together and there's hugs and kisses at certain churches. I've had people come in here and disappointed because we're not a huggy kissy church, all right? And, and a lot of churches just are huggy kissy or whatever. And I'm not against huggy kissy. My wife and I do that a lot, all right? And again, when that comes naturally, that's fine, okay? But love goes a little bit deeper than just lovey-kissy. In fact, one of the things I've observed over the years, when a church gets over what I call sloppy agape, you know, there's and they just all love each other and that kind of stuff. When the little things go wrong, oh my goodness. Boy, do they turn on each other with knives and bitterness and anger and everything else. And, and what that shows you, that's not really God's love, okay? You know, years ago, we had a book in my house when I was growing up. It was Bob Hope's autobiography. Strange thing to talk about. But he just talked about growing up and getting into vaudeville and breaking into radio and things of that sort. And he was one of the first national radio stars. And, you know, today people tell blonde jokes. And it's easier on us. We have a lot of blondes in our family, so it's not like we're insulting anybody. We know what blondes are, all right? But the thing is, you know, when I was young, people used to tell Polish jokes, all right? And now we're more sensitive. We understand ethnic disabilities, all right? So we don't pick on that. But took a little while, but all right, there you go. All right, but the thing is, Bob Hope used to tell jokes about how dumb his mother was. And people used to just roar and laugh, and he would take all the jokes that people used for blondes and the Polish or the Irish or whatever group you wanted to insult, and he would tell them about his mother. And, you know, and it got to the point whenever he'd show up the studio, there'd be a bunch of old women weeping why are you doing this to your mother? And he'd ask his mother, Mom, does that really bother? No, she said, it doesn't bother me. And he talks about one day it hitting him, what he really had done to his mother. It just hit him. Just the shame of that thing, and, you know, and just the sorrow and how much that tore at him, and him going to his mother and just, you know, begging her forgiveness. And why does mother put up with that? She loved him. She loved him, okay? And that's the kind of love that God wants to see in the house of God, okay? That kind of love. And again, it's easy to love people that got it all together, got their bills paid and come to church, dressed right, say the right thing, everything else. We have certain people in here who are just apt to rub you wrong if you talk to them three times in a row, okay? They're just apt to do that. And, you know, love that kind of person. Just love them. And, you know, it's like the old rule they used to have in retail. The customer is always right, number one. Number two, what if the customer's wrong? Go back to rule number one, all right? The customer is always right. And love that person. Now, again, I'm not asking anybody to be a doormat. There are people who will make you into a doormat, okay? And you know what? It is to your honor to take that for a certain amount of time. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, as much as lieth in you, dwell with all men peaceably. Did he say dwell with all men peaceably? No, he said as much as lieth in you. What Popeye used to say? That's all I can stands. And I can't stands no more. He'd squeeze that spinach and old Bruto or Pluto would get, you know, the snot beat out of him, all right? He couldn't take any more of that. And those of you who grew up, you know, I remember he used to read some beat up and such. And, you know, they chat in the old cartoons and you can't anymore. The Japanese had these huge teeth and glasses and such. You know, pull them out and beat them up. But the thing is, you're not ordered just to get along with everybody. There's as much as lieth in you. Now, here's one of the rules. The longer that you can endure someone, the better a person you are. And again, I'm not talking about sitting there, them trampling all over you, your rights, your kids, everything else, and you're just mousy and afraid to say anything. I'm not talking about that. If there's anything I learned, and I learned this early in life, you know, I'm a product, and again, when I first went to elementary school, first school I ever went to was the old Grange Hall in Little Valley. We had so many kids in my kindergarten class, they had to turn the Grange Hall into kindergarten. And then we moved to Machias, went to Delano Machias Central School. And some of you have heard me say this before. In the late 1950s and the early 1960s, a public school was a more moral and better place than any Christian school you'll find today. Okay? Now, you old people remember that. By golly, you would not have cussed. You wouldn't have said something wrong. You'd have absolutely showed respect to every teacher. And I had a teacher who used to pick us up by the ears and throw us. That's hard to believe today, all right? Back then, it wasn't hard to believe. It wasn't hard to sit up straight in his class either. Because, you know, it didn't bother him. He'd just walk by and swat you out of your chair because you're talking or doing something of that sort. Take your gum and stick it in your hair. I told you not to bring that gum. You'd have to go home and your mother would have to soak it in something to get it out of your hair. You know? And I've seen kids try to cut it out so their mother didn't know. They got a big bald spot on the top. You can't even begin to imagine that going on in a public school today. But in those days, you didn't want your parents to know that you got a whipping in school. You didn't want your parents to know that the teacher had to come by and slap you out of your chair. All right? Because you were probably going to get slapped out of your chair when you got home. All right? Because that happened to you. And it's a different ballgame. All right? It's a different thing, all right, as far as what's going on. But I say all that to say this. The Warren Court then came in and began to make rulings, and by the time I got to the seventh or eighth grade, that had all changed. It was just different, okay? Things began to be allowed in school that never would have been allowed before, okay? And I remember a girl one time sitting there wearing a lace sweater with no bra or anything else, and my English teacher just saying, afraid of catching a cold, you know? And, you know, 5 years earlier, she'd have just been marched home. You know, that's all there would have been to it or whatever. And those kind of things were just allowed. But we began to see this new style of teacher. Oh, we're all going to get along together. And, you know, and just, oh, everything's going to be fine. And you know what I learned? Those were horrible teachers. Some of them knew their subject matter inside out. But if you ever crossed them, they were unforgiving, bitter with you, factions in the class. And then you come, I remember Miss Colbert had her 10th grade English. And I'd always heard that I was terrified to have Miss Colbert. And she was one of the old teachers. She didn't hear that anything was new, all right? And you walked in there, and I remember her explaining exactly how homework was going to be done in her class. This is the way it's going to be done. And this is what you will have. And this is what you're going to do and behave here. And I remember just sitting there terrified of her. And you know, it was one of the most enjoyable classes because everybody knew exactly how to behave. And when you messed up in her class, she did one of two things. She either dropped the hammer on you, or she came by and personally excused you. And it was over, it's done, and not another person dared say a thing because Miss Cuthbert forgave it. It's over. Whereas you take one of those new teachers, everybody's getting along, when you cross them, it never got forgiven. It's like you're now the bad student over here and you're not part of the in crowd or something. And I learned that later with bosses. You know, you'd have one that, oh, we're all going to get along here or something. The next thing you find out, it's all factionalism and they hold grudges and everything else. And then you go and find a boss that's absolutely right down the line. These are the rules. This is the way it's going to be. And when you mess up with a person like that, they fuck you or they fuck you. Okay? If you, it's clean, open, and you've done this, that's fine. You know, we'll do the order, you know what role, it's over. I heard a story one time of Admiral Nimitz, and they were just talking about the kind of man he was, and a young sailor talked about, well, he was a young officer, and it was his first time about bringing these huge Navy ships into a dock. And, you know, he went himself, and Admiral Nimitz is a boy, and he went and he goofed all this, and they're sickering, they let me act, kids, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, the young Navy officer realizes that he's screaming, reverse engines, all that kind of stuff. And man, it's just at the last moment to bring it in and nothing's damaged. And you go like this, and Admiral Nimitz says, young man, do you understand what you did wrong? Yes, sir, I do. Good. And that was the end of it. Okay? The end of it. But then again, there's a story of Admiral Nimitz one time shaming the United States Navy as a young lieutenant. And he caused an international incident with a stupid thing he did with a riverboat. And they were getting rid of him and putting him out of the military. And one of his superiors intervened and said, I think there's merit in this young man. And I think we would do well to forgive this transgression, okay? And I'm sure the Japanese wish they'd drummed him out of the military, all right? But the issue is this. I've learned that hard-nosed people are actually easier able to forgive more easily. And those that all act lovey-dovey don't seem to be able to forgive, okay? I learned that same thing in the military. They don't seem to be able to forgive. What am I saying? I'm not telling you to be hard-nosed, but I'm saying you to be sober-minded in love, okay? Sober-minded. And to look at people and make up your mind. Especially those of the house of God. The Apostle Paul says, do good unto all men, especially of them of the household of faith. A, do good to all men. You know, your neighbors, people you see by the side of the road, anything of that sort. Be good to them. Be kind to them. Show them those kind of kindnesses. And when someone clearly wrongs you, remember how many people you have clearly wronged. Okay? And endure that. And you know, one of the rules of thumb I have over the years as a pastor here, people come up to me and ask me, Pastor, I need this or I need that or something of that sort. The first time somebody asks me, I'll go to any length to see to it they get what they've asked me for. And you say, well, what if they're abusing you? I'm sure if you did, okay? When it comes second time, I'm a little guy, why are you coming? All right? This was an urgent last year, but I'm going on this, all right? I'm not a little bit person like that. You know, if you money in emergency or I give something to you, A, I gave it to the Lord. If you squander it and you abuse it, that's between you and God. I'm clear before God for what I've done, okay? Now, I'm not going to give God's money away to somebody that's in the habit of just squandering, all right? We're going to get to the bottom of it. The point is, love is of God, okay? And learn to love people, even the ones that are different than you, okay? Certain things I confess sometimes. 1972, I voted for a Democrat. And, you know, and again, you know, it's I'll live with that as long as I live, all right? It's one of those things that, you know, it's over, it's done. You know, we're not going to be able to undo that or something else, but I found people who found in their heart to forgive me. They love me anyway, all right? All right, yeah. By the way, and I'll make this clear also, and Hannah Bennett, yes, she is back in the United States, and we're getting fairly close to be able to pay that off. I would like if it paid off so that we get that money. She comes now. Governor is sending out a lot of money, okay? There. And we all had President Biden and Nancy Pelosi and all that, but even President Trump wanted this money sent, okay? Fought for it, all right? It was defeated, so the next group came and sent it. I don't understand that kind of financing, but I'm all convinced no one understands either, okay? And, okay. Honestly, it's kind of anything to say, but we're at a point right now where our government has thrown out all previous economic theory. Okay? If they get away with it, they get away with it. Okay? All my life, I heard couldn't do it. Okay? Yep. And so, okay, and you go and you live in your children, want you $250 a month per child. Everybody's church. That's the new law. If that child is under five, then you'll get $300 a month. It's just going to be given to you. It's just not so, okay? You know, and it's part of the law. And there's money being done, right? Left, and this, well, I say, when all the last does again, I'd like it to do with the rent, $5,000, okay? And put that in there and be able, when Hannah Bennett comes in here, to hand her a check and say, hey, this church is taking care of 10% of that cost for, you know, for that thing. And then if you have any money, fine. Some of you might call you, the money comes in, your desk order, what's asking you to get what you don't have. It's just to a little extra pin money on the guy, right? All right, so back to this thing of 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another. Verse 7, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Here's talking about love instilled into by the born-again spirit. You know, again, I'm not really a doctor, but I ended so. He made a statement. He said, sometimes women come to him and say, well, I'm raising my children the best I know how. And he said, well, congratulations. You're just like every Russian and Chinese. They're raising their children the best they know how. You do better than that, everybody. Okay? You do better than you know. You get by another raised children. Say, well, you know, I should love my church. I just don't know other people except passion. It's that thing of making up your mind that God has loved me. Okay? And think about what that entailed for God to love you. And to say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to love these others. No matter how tough it is or anything else. If you have to sell straight, there is that, put them in love, okay? The right way. If you don't know, the right way. Verse 8, he loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Now the world loves that God is love thing. Then if you watch what people love, you find out who their God is. Okay? And, you know, if you love the God of Israel, God is love. You love the Jew, you love the lost, you love the leader, you love Peter, church. You know, once it's our other consistently cross you, even though they're not trying to. You know, one of the rules I've always taught my children is to like everyone. And if you think about it, why? Because think about the people in your life who just liked you. They just like you. Don't you like that person? You ever had teachers that just liked you? You ever have business people, you go into a store and they just like you, okay? It's a wonderful thing. And you realize you can be that person. Just like people. You say, what if they're unlikable? Like them anyway. And every once in a blue moon, you'll run into somebody who will make it impossible for you to like them, okay? Act like you like them, okay? And if they make that miserable, then you probably have to avoid them. And that's a sin. Take that as a personal defeat in your life. Okay, don't take that because you don't want to begin to stack up people like that. Okay? One of the things I've taught myself, if I have an enemy, is first of all, congratulations, you made him. You made an enemy, okay? You say, well, they're a horrible person. Well, other people get along with them. Why can't you? Chances are because of your pride. And you don't want to let your pride down, okay? And so you consider this person an enemy. And that's a defeat to you. And you need to take it as a defeat and handle it and say, this is a defeat for me. This person is my enemy. And not everybody's their enemy, so there must be something. And you know, we have that tremendous message on the website. If you get on under Preacher's Corner and go, I think, all the way down, you find a message by Barry Rackley, an evangelist and pastor out of Virginia. And in there, he talks about the healing of your issues. And a tremendous, tremendous message. He talks about the woman with the issue of blood, and he said, what is her name? Oh, the Bible never gives her name, but everybody knows her issue. And he said, some of you are in danger of being that person. That everybody knows your issues. They don't know you, okay? You don't want to be that person. You don't want to be that one that everybody just knows your issues all the time. And yet there are people who awful things happen in their life. You know, Moses made that statement. He told the Lord, he said, let me not see my wretchedness. What would that mean for you? What is it with you when you're just turned inside out and you don't care who sees it? It's just awful what's happened to you. If you are a person with normal mental health, that has rarely ever happened to you in life. Okay? It'll usually happen in the utmost of disasters. Okay? Death of a loved one, some horrible thing going on in your life. We have other people in here, you know who you are? That's happened quite often. Why? Because you have not had the luxury of normal mental health. You haven't had that luxury. It's not something that was bred into you as a child and trained as a child how to have that. And so as a result, many times people just saw you saw your own wretchedness. Everyone saw it. It just poured out there. That's something that should happen in a person's life once or twice, maybe ever. Okay, where that's just out there and that's it. They're absolutely at the end of their rope and they just need other people at this moment. And usually if a person has gone through that a couple times with good mental health, they can usually handle the third time themselves, okay? But if you love one another, you can handle that person who's seeing their wretchedness. One of the hallmarks of my ministry is I tend to accumulate people who have a hard time with that, okay? Who often are quite wretched. And oftentimes their behavior is pretty terrible. Now, right now, gosh, everybody's pretty well. Tanya, you're pretty well. Ruth Ann's pretty well behaved. I mean, we're doing pretty good. Chris is pretty well behaved, all right? We're doing a good job here. Kyle Beal, my goodness, hasn't been running around screaming and throwing things or whatever else. But again, love one another. I think back to a few years ago, there's a young lady who sometimes will come to this church. My heart always goes out to her. She was taken away from her parents when she was about 5 years old because of sexual abuse in the home, terrible sexual abuse. She was adopted by a couple in Brooklyn, and at 16 years old, she was rescued from kiddie porn. That's why they adopted her. Once in a great blue moon, she'll come and visit here, okay? There's a woman in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, she calls mom today, it's a social worker. And you say, how would you live with that, okay? And yet, she's out there, just trying to survive, trying to make it. And one day, she came in with a lesbian partner. She came and sat over about where John Battis is right now. Now, you folks know that I'm not into same-sex marriages. I like same-sex friendships. Pastor Hayne and I were the same sex. We're friends. all right? That's same-sex friendship, all right? We keep it at friendship. But this idea of this, you know, sexual thing with same-sex, no, all right? That's, God hates that, all right? And we have many people in this church, and I don't mean one or two, we have many people who have crossed that aisle at one time in their life, okay? And it was a sorrow, it hurt them, it broke them, and I have never thrown stones at those people, never, okay? And when she came in here, it's not one of those things that, you're defiling the house of God. No, I thought to myself, the bitterness and the awfulness. And then when she gets out in the real world, just abused by men, and they use her over and over again and such, and she's trying to find love somewhere. So my hope is that somehow for this girl, and the same day, a couple came in, sat back where Dan and Jen are, perfectly dressed, their children perfectly dressed for Sunday school, look like something out of a Leave It to Beaver movie or something like that, perfectly dressed, and they sat there. And I remember thinking to myself, what will they think of that? And then I thought to myself, I don't care what they think of that. I know what I think of that. My heart's broken for that girl. My heart's broken that this girl that I've been dealing with has fallen so far down. Now, she's been delivered from that. The stage and all the floundering and everything else. And one of you people, twice a year, she'll call me and say, Pastor, I desperately need gas money, and I've never questioned. She never asks for a lot. She usually just wants $20, goes straight into her gas tank, and I've never questioned. She's one of the few people that has an open line to me. They can just anytime ask for gas money, and they can have it. Why? Because I have this hope. I have this hope that at some point God will seize her and get a hold of her and give hope there, okay? Have that hope that will happen. Another couple told Pastor Haynes, people in this church that I don't think our church would have had. Okay? And then we're talking about just the lesbian couple sitting there. It was back before the long ago, we had their disease as well as do not. All right? And we go through a little divorce or something with them. We still go, that's, no, that's because it's too babe. but the thing is, they said that. And they never came again. And I've heard since then they've been divorced. Montgomery's are still together, okay? Still here. Learn to love the other. Learn to love because they're God. Jesus Christ did die you and you were, okay? I do when you're ugly, you were wretched, and you were condemned. And he does know those secrets of your heart that you don't want anyone else to know. They're bare and open to him. And again, how many times have you heard me say it? If I could take right now and put an implant in your heart and had this huge screen up here and everybody can see your heart, there's not a person in here who wouldn't writhe with shame at some point. Okay? Just absolutely writhe with shame. And there's not a person in here who doesn't have personal memories of themselves that are so grievous and shameful, it hurts you to bring them back up in your own heart and remember them, okay? Yeah. And Jesus Christ was fully mindful of that when he made up his mind to love you, okay? Absolutely fully mindful of that. And all he asks is, if you're born of me, love, okay? Love one another. Learn to love the unlovely. Learn to do that. Father, thank you for what we've learned this morning. I do pray bless the house of God at 11 and 1 o'clock. And thank you for those who are hearing through Facebook. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.